James O'Donoghue makes it 9 points to 3.
He's tearing the Cork captain Michael Shields to shreds. The ball will be brought out, of course, to the 14 metre line. It's 1 yard inside from the sideline. On the 14 metre line, the linesman picks up the flag. Brian Sheehan is like, well, if he kicked this over the bar, he'd have to cuddle it like Tiger Woods with a drive. Watch this, Gary.
If you hear the shouts on this one, you'll hear it all the way to Croke Park. This will be some kick if he can land this. I wouldn't rule it out. I've seen him do it. Sheehan curling.
What a kick. Brian Sheehan, the king of kickers.
This is the unsigned letter that you got. I must say that when I was refereeing myself, I got a few of these unsigned letters, and they're horrible things to get. They're very frightening in many ways. So you're going to read it out, this letter that you got, an unsigned letter after that match.
Yeah. It's funny you say that I still have the letter after, but that letter was put away. I didn't even show my wife that letter at the time it came. Nor I didn't go to guard with it, nor I didn't go to anyone with it. I just put it away, and years after I come across it. It started off anyway, it's addressed Buckley. You rotten, no good so-and-so. You robbed us out of the Leinster final. If you put off the three lads for using the fizz, what broke Jerry Brown's nose? You so-and-so. Your so-and-so linesman. Don't forget, we are watching you. It may not be now, but don't travel too far on your own from home. You are going to get what they are getting in the north, the bullet. And we mean every bit of it. You may never get the chance of taking the whistle in your hands again. I think you were always treated with a bit of right when you were in leash. We are not letting you away with it, no way. We don't mind what happens to us so long as we get you. Besides, it will never be known who did it. It may go a while, but we will get you and your car, Leash Trio.
And of course, Cartridge, the thing about an unsigned letter like that is, and other ones is, that they're cowards. They haven't the guts or they haven't the backbone to put their name to it.
No, there's no name to that.
And of course, the miners winning the same day, Eminem, Jack O'Connor charged them. It made everything doubly bitter than what it was. Did it help you in the dressing room beforehand even?
It did. We had a ward. It came in, and the first 15 were actually inside in the warm-up room going through the motions with Cian getting ready to go out onto the pitch, and the ward came in that the lads were after winning, and I said it to them. I said it to the lads. I said it to the players. Like I said, look, the miners are after winning now, and we're here now to finish off the job and to make sure we got a double. We get the double, and you could see that it gave fellas a bit of a lift. Because the same thing had happened below in Parky Cleave the day of the Munster final. The word came in that the lads were after winning the Munster final, the minors, and it gave our lads a boost again. So it was just one of those years where both teams were kind of linked together the whole way through the campaign. So it was great to get that news that the minors were after winning as well.
What has it been like since Eamon around the county, around the country? And I've no doubt people from all over the world, immigrants, Irish immigrants, they have fierce interest in Kerry football. People contacting you. What have you found after Kerry winning now in relation? What has it meant to everybody?
Well, I think in Kerry in general, anyway, this one seems to have meant an awful lot to people. I think possibly because not too many people outside of the camp probably gave us much of a chance, particularly earlier on in the year. I think as the summer went on, people began to realise that maybe something was happening all right. But I think there's fantastic goodwill around the county. There was great excitement. I suppose it's 5 years since we'd won in All-Ireland, so a lot of kids maybe that are around that stage were 6, 7 years of age. They were nearly too young to remember it. They're all kind of now that impressionable age, 10, 11, 12, and it was kind of new for them, the whole excitement of the whole thing. And I think because there's so many of the younger lads winning their first All-Ireland as well, it added to it. So there was a lot of, exciting factors this year.
Now, so I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Kieran Donnelly. Kieran, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Vichy. Always a pleasure.
Great to have you. You usually drop in once a year.
I do. I give you an odd shout at a time, all right, in
you
fairness.
You do, yeah. And I always ask you, how's your gran?
She's good, thank God. She'll be listening. She'll be wired in. Still going for a blessing there in the mornings before all the games. And before we won the All-Ireland in 2009, I took Dara O'Shane to meet her. She was a big fan of Dara, so she wanted to bless Dara before the 09 final, and we won the 09 final. And before the 11 final, I never took a Shane to her. So this time anyway, we were going up to play Donegal, and I said, I need to bring a Shane now the Saturday morning before the game. So I rang Mark, and in fairness, Mark came up and he met Nen, and Nen gave him the blessing of the holy water, and off we went, and thankfully it might have worked.
Would you be a religious man yourself, Kieran? Would you be spiritually in that way?
Yeah, I definitely have a spiritual side to me, but I wouldn't be the avid mass goer. I wouldn't be there every Sunday morning, but when the games start come ticking busy, you would find me at the odd graveyard praying to the odd med. I often go down to the great father, Mihal Galvin, have a chat with him before games. So you never know, we might be down there before the county final having a chat with him,
Do you think there's a bit of spirituality in Kerry football overall, Kieran?
Well,
does it mean? What does the traditions of Kerry mean to you?
Well, the traditions of Kerry is what it's all about, really. Like, you know, and we're very aware of that. And Eamon is a great preacher of what it means to have the Kerry jersey on and the tradition that goes with it. And he reminds us on a weekly basis about that. So I think for all the Kerry team and any fellow who's put on the Kerry jersey knows the tradition of it. And as I often say, we're minding the jerseys for the next showerful as we can come on supporting. So there's definitely that side to it as well.
This to win the semi-final, folks, because time is up. Robert Hennelly, 3:11 to 3:11. High, looking good, looking good. It's high, Donaghy's under it, held inside. Is there a Mayo man? The referee says all over. Weeshie, we're going to take the time.
Oh, my God, a great kick by the goalkeeper. It landed right under the crossbar. Kieran Donaghy was there. Caught the ball, came out, the referee blew full time. Extra time, folks. We are absolutely weak here with the tension and with the excitement. 3:11 each.
Oh, Mayo are gone off. Kerry are going off. We'll have extra time. We won't be home till 2 o'clock in the morning, Weeshie.
Would you be a lady that would follow all sports? I would imagine, and you'd probably hope sometime down the line to get involved in sports, reporting or sports writing or something somewhere down the line.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's definitely a line that I'd love to go down in the future, to be kind of, you know, maybe on the Sunday game, maybe doing the sideline interviews, maybe reporting, maybe kind of things like that. That's definitely my aim for the future. And I do have a love for all sports. I mean, I love my Gaelic football, I love my hurling, love my soccer. Love everything else, you know. I mean, even this year now, we went to the Golf Open, just the Irish Open now for the crack. And I mean, I've never went to a golfing event in my entire life, and I mean, I had so much fun there, you know, because I mean, it's just kind of like a day out for people, you know. Yeah. And I mean, it's sport, it's a great place to meet people, and you definitely gain lifelong friends, you know. I mean, you have that moment, you know, where your teammates kind of become like your family, a second family to you. And I mean, that's definitely the beauty of sport. And like sport, you know, I mean, as Pep Guardiola said, the beauty of sport is you laugh and then you cry. You know, one day it could go all so well for you, the next day it could go so bad, you just want to stand there and cry, you know. So I mean, that sport is definitely a beautiful thing.
I'm here in the Killarney Golf and Fishing Club now in Killarney, interviewing you, Joanne, and we're talking about sport. You're a lady that has travelled all over the world. You've been on top television shows, interviewed by everybody. Have you done many interviews in relation to what we're talking? Have you done sporting interviews before?
I've rarely done sport interviews. A lot of people would like to focus maybe on technology and kind of how that's helped me, but I think people need to realise that there are actually two sides to me, and that there is this person that does go out every day to matches, you know, and stands in the muddy pitches, you know, I mean, like everyone does, to support my brother in Mill Street. And I mean, it's very exciting, and I mean, we have the Duhalla final now coming up Sunday, which is a big occasion for us. So it's my brother's last year, so we're hoping maybe that he'd like to go out, you know, maybe with a Duhalla medal. So it's all very exciting though, and I mean, it's definitely, I mean, sport interviews, no one ever really kind of touches on it maybe, but it's definitely something that I am passionate, and when I get talking about it, I can't shut up.
Training in Fitzgerald Stadium, where you grew up yourself, and you would have watched games there since you were a child with your dad, and training behind closed doors. What was that like? Is it a little bit surreal training in an empty stadium, and does it make a big difference?
I'm not sure. I didn't train with people there for that long. I remember, I suppose, just kind of trying to develop with people watching, and it probably wasn't great for keeping things quiet, you know, because everything goes out, really, even if there's nobody there, things get out. So I think that probably behind closed doors, it gives the younger fellas a chance to, you know, not be very good for a while. Yeah. Because if you're going training and there's 1,000 people watching you, and you're not confident because you're not in with the seniors for that long, and then the crowd are going, oh, not sure about him, you know, you're better off just doing it maybe behind closed doors. leaving fellas develop, especially because we had such a young panel. So I think it definitely helped us, whether it's the right or wrong thing, I don't know. You know, I'm sure people love going to see training, but I think it worked for us this year.
Yeah, it did, James. At the end of the day, a lot of people wouldn't have liked it, but it worked, definitely. There's no doubt in it. I reckon it had a big part in you winning the All-Ireland. Last year against Dublin, in that thrilling All-Ireland semi-final, you had Colm Cooper outside you, and you were inside, and you linked up beautifully. What was it like playing with him, and then what was it like when he got injured and playing without him? Could you see a big difference in the style that the forwards were developing?
I'm not sure, but I just know last year that, you know, every time the Gooch had the ball, you'd nearly turn around and it would hit you on the top of the forehead. You know, you just put it into your mouth. So that was fantastic playing with someone like that, because he was so skillful in things and he'd always take the pressure off you by, you know, just doing the right thing. This year then, obviously, you lost a big player. We lost a couple of big players. But I don't think we changed too much. Obviously, we changed our systems very often. But the Gooch would have fitted seamlessly into everything we did and made us better again, and hopefully that will happen next year.
What would your ambitions be now, James, for next year and the year after? I, of course, imagine to play with Kerry as long as you can and to win more All-Ireland. What are your ambitions?
I just hope that we can really fulfil our potential, because there's so much in that group, and you know, this isn't going to go to anyone's head or anything. It's only one All-Ireland, and I think that we can go on and win more, hopefully, and you know, do something great for the county, and that's my ambition.
Oh, bad kick out! Kieran Donaghy, goal surely! Goal!
Goal!
A goal for Donaghy, and what a massive mistake by Paul Durkin!
Oh, what a goal by Kieran Donaghy, the star! Goalkeeper kicked the ball straight out, and what a mistake by the Donegal man! And Kieran Donaghy, the star, he was on hand to pick up the ball, turn around, hop the ball once and hit a rocket of a shot low into the net. That's the goal that might set Kerry on their winning way.
The difficulties of playing with not being able to have the extra five fingers, the fellas said, being an old basketball player myself, not a good player or anything, Jordan, but the difficulties of not having the extra five fingers to grasp the ball and to direct it and to guide it and everything. How has all that been, and how have you got over that from the word go?
Well, I've never really noticed it. Like, since a young age, I've been trying everything out. I've just tried everything out, really, and the only really two things I cannot do is a left-hand layup and a left-hand crossover. I can do absolutely everything else in basketball.
How does the opposition treat you? How have they treated you?
Well, when I come onto the court, the opposition are giving me looks and they're whispering about me, saying, I can't believe we're going up against this fella.
Yes, yeah.
And then when I score my 10 to 15 points, they're like, I better start marking this fella or we're going to lose, like. Yeah.
Being picked on the Irish international team, of course, is a huge honour, isn't it? How important is that?
It's my dream come true, really.
Yeah.
Since I was little, I wanted to play on my country, wanted to represent my country, and I'm so happy it finally came true.
You can join us on Twitter at Weishi Fogarty. Liam, what's your view about he coming back? Is he doing the right thing? And what is he going to bring? And how's he going to be used, do you think?
Well, I suppose, like the boys have said there, like, the Kerry management didn't take this lightly. This has been going through their heads with a while, because they knew that the minute this can of worms got out, that there was going to be euphoria between the national press, and he nearly blew Twitter apart during the week and all this. But look, If Eamon Fitzmaurice, like, sat down and probably said, look, we're after winning in All-Ireland, how can we improve Kerry?
Something different,
yeah. What can we bring in that will be something? And I think, like, if you bring in a guy like Paul Galvin into the setup, and if he can increase training by 1%, and you have 30 fellas in there, that training has gone up 30% already. And it's the... So you can see the... And I am sure that Eamon sat down with Paul and said, look, Paul, you're probably not going to start 90% or 99% of our games. But, like, if we can get you fit enough for the last 20 minutes and you come on and do a job for us, will you be happy with that? And we'll bring you in if we're happy with that. And I'm sure they have sat down and they have discussed things across the table. So I think it's huge for Kerry to have Paul Galvin. Like, the boys have said it, like, everything that he brings to the table, that not alone on the football field, but inside in the dressing rooms. Can you imagine now the younger guys sitting down, they see Paul Galvin sitting beside him and having a few words with him and talking to him before a game? Like, that's you couldn't buy that. And so I think it's a masterstroke, to be honest. A lot of people, I was surprised with the lot of negative negativity during the week and the negative comments that came out about Paul coming back, that he's holding back a young player and holding back and all this. Look, Eamon Fitzmaurice has one thing in his head this year, and that's to win in All-Ireland. Eamon Fitzmaurice is looking at every possible angle to improve things, and I think this is a huge decision for Eamon, and I think it's the right decision.
Certainly, we'd be very similar, you know, as regards what the strengths of Kerry football are. I mean, I always say it, that, and I say it consistently to the minor lads, that the strength of Kerry football really is kick passing.
Yeah.
Because from whence they were able to walk, I suppose, young fellas are kicking a ball out in the garden, young fellas in Kerry, and more so, I'd say, than in any other county. And, you know, that has to be the basis of the way we play football, is kick passing. And you know, if we go down the road of blanket defences or 13 men behind the ball or running hand-passing game, I think we'd be in the middle of the pack, because I don't think we'd be as good as you know, say the Northern teams or any of the other short-passing teams. So we will consistently have to go down that road of playing that brand of football. It doesn't mean rooting the ball up in the air or anything, but constructive, sharp kick passing into space with runners coming off. To lend support. So, you know, my philosophy and aim is to be very similar in that regard.
Staying on the same thing, Jack, I was talking to Declan O'Sullivan the other night, and I put it to him about the All-Ireland final, and I said, did Kerry go down to Donegal way? And he said to me, no, he said, we definitely didn't go down to Donegal way if you look at it closely. Now, I don't know exactly what he meant about it, but staying on the same thing there now, as you were saying about the philosophy, do you think Kerry went down to Donegal way in the All-Ireland final? Or what type of a game did you think they played?
You see, they'd love it up in the, you see the story with the boys up the north. They'd love it if you attacked them gung ho like Dublin did, and they'd pick you off like, you know, Eamon was clever enough to keep his men back in position. I don't think Kerry played ultra defensive. It's just that they kept a good structure at the back.
What's it like then, Kieran, being out there in the big games? We say Munster finals, semi-finals, All-Ireland finals in particular, and we say you get that goal, some fella gets the point or something, and can you hear the crowd? Can you hear the Kerry support? Can you feel that swell of roaring and shouting? Does it come like a wave across the field? How does it affect you personally?
Oh, it does. It lifts you.
Does it?
It lifts you. You know, like before my goal in the final, Peter Crowley actually made a block. The great block he made where he came running, and, you know, in fairness to Eamon and Keane O'Neill, they were working on that with us all year, running out, charging out and diving to block a ball, you know. And when I was up full forward, and when you're that far away and when the ball's down there, as a forward you start getting nervous, you're hoping the backs can hold them out, you don't want to see anything, you don't want to see a fella slip. You know, and you see a fella lining up a point in the game, is in the melting pot, and all of a sudden Peter Crowley comes thundering through with a block, and, you know, the crowd lifted that. Right after that, I clearly remember the crowd lifting, like, you know, and that, you know, that was...
Was it a defining moment, you think, that block was?
I think that, like, people talk about my goal, but yeah. I think the block from Peter Crowley was the stance that, you know, we're not going away here, we're going to toughen this out, because it was very tight for a long period before the goal. There was 10 or 11 minutes there of stalemate, and, you know, if that point had gone over for them, it would have given them a huge lift, but instead... You know, Peter made the block, and it was a crucial block, and up we came, and the ball ends up in the back of the net, and then you hear another roar, and you see the delight in people's face, and
just can you actually see the faces when you're out there?
It's funny, sometimes, you know, sometimes you pick someone out just as you look after, you know, celebrating, fellas. You know, I often give myself a bit of criticism, but I'd celebrate every goal, even a bad goal. I remember Gooch passed over a ball to me against Cork and Crow Park in the semi-final one day, and I went to fist it in, and I missed it, and I hit it with my head, and it bounced down off the ground and hit the post, and then I took off celebrating like I took a shot from 20 yards and within the top corner. But so I do, like, that's the passion coming out in me, I suppose, you know, and certainly after that goal, you know, I was a happy camper, and, you know, you have to kind of soak it up as well, and, you know, G the crowd on, because you know that's affecting the other team as well. So that's probably, you know, one of the big reasons I do it would be to make sure the other crowd knows something big has happened for Kerry, and, you know. And
would you have a photographic memory in relation to incidents in your career, Kieran?
Well, I suffer from dyslexia, Rishi, so the memory is sometimes a bit dodgy. So, but I have certain moments.
How does dyslexia affect you? There'll be people interested in this.
Yeah, no.
What you're saying is a huge rise to people with dyslexia, of course.
Like, you know, it's nothing, you know, once you get a handle on it, no, like, but my spelling wouldn't be great, you know, my short-term memory might be bad enough, but my long-term memory is very good, so I can remember the days. But, you know, there's lots of times where I'd be searching for someone's name now, you know, if I met them, and I met them then again a few weeks later, and I don't even met them previously before, I'd really struggle with it, with a name, and that's the short term.
I was wondering why you passed me in the street.
Go away, no,
I was wondering,
you can't be a miss because there's someone talking to you before you get to you.